Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Coming to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is John Mark Tolley. Joining me today is...
Darth... Wait, I'm not a Darth. I'm Garrett Jones.
Yes.
I was going to come up with something really cool and something epic sounding, and then I had a brain fart, so that's my new official Lord of the Sith title, Lord Brain Fart.
Darth Brain Fart.
Darth Brain Fart, yeah.
Well, speaking of Darth, before we get started in our review of War of Bad Batch Season 3, I thought we should talk a little bit about, have you seen the trailer for Tales of the Empire?
I have not. It was out. I have not had an opportunity to watch it, but I want to. I heard it looked pretty good.
Well, we have some time. I think we can
pull
it up. Okay, hold on. If I can spell here. Tales of the Empire. All right, let me hold up.
So just as a, before you play that though, John, just as a quick announcement, everybody, we are just a few weeks away from one of my favorite times of the year, Free Comic Book Day. And ooh, this year we have a really awesome opportunity, because not only does Free Comic Book Day show up on the first weekend of May, the first Saturday of May, to be specific, that same Saturday is May the 4th, aka Star Wars Day, which is incredibly epic. Now, there's usually some overlap within the days. Like, usually they're within 1 to 2 days apart from each other. But this time, this year, like, it lands smack dab on the same day. So, if you go to freecomicbookday.com, you can find out if your local comic book shops are hosting an event of any kind. My local comic book shop, it's called DJ's Collectibles here in Central California. We do a kind of a street party type of thing. I'll be out there as a vendor. I'll talk more about that towards the end of the episode, but it's really cool. In fact, the guy that owns the shop, he and a bunch of his buddies are part of the 501st local chapter. And so we are going to have clone commandos and clone troopers out there at some point. In fact, there's one guy every year who has a speeder bike and he brings it out.
Nice. Also, May, as you might have noticed in a lot of our social media posts, May is also going to be the 7th anniversary of War of the Stars. I put out posts on all social media posts. If you want to be a part of that show, we'd love to have you on, talk Star Wars. We're going to probably do something big. We always try to do, have some guests on. Usually get past guests from the show. We're going to try to get Will, aka Darth Tuba, back on the show. We always love having Will on. Maybe get Brian Miller from Star Wars Canon Podcast, who's on last year, and who knows who else. But again, get in contact with us at worthestars1@gmail.com or through all our social media posts. All right, let's watch this trailer.
All right.
Why do you seek Imperial favor?
Years ago, my people were all but destroyed. My anger gives me strength. It is that strength I offer the Empire.
Offer accepted.
I'm here to present you with an opportunity, Barriss.
Just be glad you're not a Jedi anymore.
Your path is set, Morgan Elsbeth.
I will fulfill my destiny.
Mercy
only breeds defeat. But I will help you overcome this weakness. Attack!
You said the Empire would help to change things.
Everything comes at a cost. My world has been burning since I was a child. You cannot stop what has begun.
Now you must face one final test. To join us. It is time you meet your new master. Long live the Empire!
Huh. That is pretty epic looking. I like some of the scenes. It feels like a lot of it is meant to set up or at least backfill some of the missing story gaps in Ahsoka season one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm like, that would have been great if this kind of content was already in Ahsoka season one. Mm-hmm. But I like it. It looks good.
I like seeing Barriss again.
I do too.
That was cool seeing her. We haven't seen her for a while.
Not since Clone Wars season. What was it? Season six.
Season six. Yeah, six. Because she was the one that was responsible for the bombing of the temple that Ahsoka was blamed on Ahsoka.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah,
that's gonna be fun. I'm not sure if I'm gonna be binge watching it right away. I'll probably take my time with it.
I really like Tales of the Jedi. Tales of the Jedi were really good, really fun.
Yeah, and Tales of the Jedi did give us a good vibe because like it jumped ahead to different points where we could see just some of the things going on pre Phantom Menace, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It gave us a really good idea of what was going on with Dooku and we got a little bit more with Yaddle, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But it seems like the animation is like the only part of Disney Star Wars that seems to be solid these days.
It does. Yeah. Speaking of animation, let's move right into Bad Batch season 3.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a twofer.
Yeah, we did. I did not expect that. It threw me off. Like I watched the first of the episodes and then I didn't realize there was a second episode. And
I only knew it because I was watching with my daughter and we watched it. And then we watched, right after that, we watched the X-Men 97.
Yeah. Which,
by the way, if you haven't watched X-Men 97, do.
I've been enjoying it.
It is amazing. And then we were going to watch the breakdown of that and a Bad Batch, so get some talking points maybe. And then we saw that there's two episodes. I'm like, okay, well, we got to go back and watch the next episode. But let's start with the first episode we saw, which was titled...
It was called Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis, yes.
And you know what? I called it, sir, because yes, you called it.
I did. I said it's going to be on Tantus, and it's going to be Emery.
Yep. And here I thought it was going to be something going on with Crosshair, and I'm not so arrogant that I can't humble myself and say you are correct, sir.
Yes. I like this episode.
That episode was hard to watch.
It was, but it was good.
Yeah, like just, it was.
It was
the
good,
execution
but
was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it made you uncomfortable in that way. You're just like, This isn't right. This isn't right. Oh, this is not right.
Brilliant. Brilliant storytelling. Yes. Great dialogue. Like a good
again, one thing I like that if there's anything that Disney has done is in a lot of their shows, it is show you just how insidious the Empire is.
Yeah.
And just like yes, they show the human side. They've showed you the human side of the Empire in some instances, but just this cold, calculating evil that, especially, you know, with the way Hemlock looks at those children. They're just assets.
He doesn't look at them as children. He looks at them as assets.
They're assets.
They're not people to him.
No.
They're a commodity.
Yeah.
And that's what's terrifying. Is like he completely, like, I mean, granted, we're dealing with kids of different species, but like he dehumanizes them. He devalues them just by simply calling them, you know, by a serial number.
Serial number, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that's so brutal. These poor kids. Like, I just want to give them a hug.
I know. It looked like Emery did too.
Oh,
like
God,
they're seeing the humanity of Emery come out.
Yeah,
and just the little bits and it's just so heartbreaking. It was just so.
Yeah. I don't even know how else to describe it. Like,
not even what was going on in the Tantus facility, but with the little fur alien that they captured, and how even then, like, you know, their very idea, you know, when they kind of get rumors that that the baby is special, the child is special,
mm-hmm.
and everyone just kind of. You know, it wasn't that long ago when that would have been something to be celebrated. Like, oh, your child is special, the Jedi. That means, you could be a whole new life for this child. And now it's like, no, we can't talk about this. No.
The sad thing is, the sad truth is that if it had been the Jedi that came calling, there's no guarantee that that kid's life would be any better, because like the kid's still being taken away from his mother.
Yeah,
the mom is going to be, there's no other family for her at that point. And chances are that kid would eventually have a life in service to the Republic mm-hmm. and to the Order that could inevitably end in death before he ever made it to knighthood.
That's true. Yes.
And now he's going to be experimented on by horrible Imperial scientists.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I
became
dark brain for it there for a while.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, the story was so well paced too.
It was perfectly paced. Like everything in there was just felt like it was specifically done for a reel. Every action, every animation that was done was done for a reason, I felt like, in that episode.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind the fact that there was no Bad Batch in it. Like, it felt like this was an episode that, like, okay, I didn't need, even though it was a Bad Batch episode, I felt like I felt the Bad Batch would have felt out of place in this. Seeing the batch itself would have been out of place in this episode. Was there anything you didn't like about this episode?
I think the only thing I didn't like is the fact that I didn't get a chance to punch Hemlock in the face. The performances were good because the two main speaking roles were Hemlock and Emery, and Jimmy Simpson does a fantastic job just playing this character. And then Keisha Castle Hughes is fantastic in what she's doing as Emery. Cause like her performance is nuanced. She is like you can see there's this change in her and she's starting to regain this humanity. It was really kind of nice.
Yeah. I love the exchange between her and I can't remember her name. The Kaminan.
Alice.
That interaction right there, like that seemed to me to be for her character, for Emery's character, like that was when like the switch was turned. It's like, this is what I'm doing is not right.
Yeah, there's so much nuance in the words that Nala Say was using. She like everything was coded, like every bit of her word choices were carefully weighed, carefully measured. And that, again, that's just great story writing and dialogue writing, because like she's giving this veiled message to Emery. And if you're just a clone commando, you know, standing guard and just hearing this and overhearing it, like none of it makes a difference to you. It doesn't, you're not going to tell heads or tails because they're probably just talking science stuff. But when you look at the subtext of what Nala Say is telling Emery, it is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because now Emery realizes, like, it's one thing when you're blissfully ignorant of the things that are going on. But when you recognize, like Emery does, that you have become complicit in what is happening, it is just, it's good writing.
We've been talking all this time. We also forgot it was the return of Cad Bane.
Yeah.
So brought back that Cad Bane.
I didn't expect to see him.
What's that?
I didn't expect to see him.
I would have
sworn they would have brought someone else in for something like that, but you know, maybe a reference to a young Boba Fett, but still this was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for what the, you know, the target was and what he was, you know, what they're having to pick up with the kid, I think Cad Bane was the perfect bounty hunter to do for this one. It made sense that it would be Cad. I don't see any other bounty hunters that we kind of know right now. Like Hondo, it doesn't make sense for Hondo to do this.
Hondo wasn't really much of a bounty hunter. He was a smuggler more than anything.
Yeah, he's a pirate and a smuggler. And it doesn't make sense for Boba either.
No. Especially... like, while Boba didn't have any special love for the Jedi, like, I don't think he would have been open to doing something like that. Like, he was, don't get me wrong, he could be a chump in some of the worst ways, but, you know, you look at his track record through the expanded universe, through the comics, the video, you know, the shows, what have you. This was not his kind of target. He would not go after kids.
Yeah.
Cad Bane, on the other hand, has literally no scruples whatsoever.
If you remember in Clone Wars, that was one of the things that Palpatine or Sidious, name is Sidious, had him do was kidnap force sensitive kids.
Yeah. It was already something he was good at doing, you know, going back years.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that we not just got Cad Bane back, but we also got Toto.
Yeah.
His droid, voiced by Seth Green, which was awesome.
Yeah. 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 It's always interesting when you get those type of characters so different from each other in personality. Mm-hmm. You know, Cad Bane is very, you know, cold and calculating and
very harsh.
Very harsh. And it seems like his little droid just was to help. He just wants to help so much.
He's just a good little service droid. What his master asks him to do. He's eager to please, and he does no compunction about the idea that what he's doing is awful. Again, going back to the idea of being blissfully ignorant.
Yes. Well, let's move on to our next episode.
So, the second episode that we got. So, we're now up to episode 11, Point of No Return. The description for the episode was "The Empire closes in on the Batch."
Yes.
And it's getting really interesting because that operative, like the scene where he is sneaking onto what was the pirate chick's name?
Oh yeah, I know who
you're talking about. The Wanda Sykes character. It's throwaway dialogue, but apparently he is confronted and he has tortured Cid for information. She gave up her pirate friend. He tracked the pirate friend to where she, fuels up her ship, sneaks on board, hacks it, and then gets the information to find out where the batch is. And I'm just like, that is like so much is done with so little dialogue. It's just all action in that sequence. Mm-hmm. And it was done so beautifully.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah. Really good. And one thing, and this is something that my co-host on my other show, Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child, noticed, mm-hmm. Lily, what the voice of the operative, it sounds an awful lot like Crosshair.
It does.
Like, you listen to it, it sounds so much like Crosshair.
Well, and if you notice, the firearm that they're both wielding almost looks identical. The way that they hold it, I have a feeling that.
I think it's a clone of Crosshair.
No. I think the Crosshair that we got back is the clone.
You think he's the ooh?
Because think about this: if you make a clone of a clone, what happens? There's cellular degradation, right?
That's why you get the
tremors.
Tremors.
That's why his memory isn't as great about certain things. Like, he remembers, but there are certain things he doesn't remember. And my guess is because his earliest memories, aside from whatever was implanted, are there because his actual first memories were being in the cell on Tantus. I will bet you. Well, I don't want to make a bet because I'm broke, but I will. I am about 95% sure at this point. If the operative is not Tech, who's been resurrected somehow, way, shape, or form, that the clone that is inside that armor is the real Crosshair, and that the actual clone is what we've been following since the start of the season.
Well, in this one, unlike our last episode, which had very light on action, this one was heavy on the action.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, like, it was just, and you kind of, and this is another one. Didn't I say that we're going to get the Empire on that planet?
Oh yeah. You predicted that way in advance.
Yeah. And again, it was just so intimidating, and so seeing I loved, on a personal note, I loved seeing the new version of the Venator class coming down, because you saw it and you're just like, okay, that's not, we're still not quite to Imperial class or Victory class Star Destroyers. Seeing the Republic gunships come down, I thought that was so cool. That was the first thing I jumped out of my seat when I saw them coming down. I turned to Lily and go, and like, it's the Republic jump ships! It's the Republic jump ships! Oh my gosh!
Yeah. the way that they that everything played out with the stormtroopers ransacking Pabu, whatever the island is called, like it's very reminiscent of what happens on Kijimi in Rise of Skywalker, where you just see patrols coming in and just ransacking everything, looking for their whatever asset they're looking for. Very similar, very much the same, you know, infiltration, occupation, and Gestapo tactics that a certain West European nationalist government once employed in the early 20th century.
Speaking of our crosshair conspiracy that we got going on here, the fact that the operative, when he was trying to stop Hunter on that, who's on the, one of the gunships, instead of shooting Hunter, he went straight for the pilot.
Yeah.
He shot one of his own men.
That is definitely a crosshair move.
That is a crosshair move. Yeah.
Why shoot the guy who's trying to infiltrate the landing craft when you could just destroy the whole thing?
Exactly.
Like, that was brilliant. Great storytelling.
Acceptable losses.
Exactly. I thought that was a really neat ploy on the part of the operative. I think the way it was staged, it was really good.
One thing I liked about this is for a lot of these, with the exception of when they last week or last episode when they fought what's her name?
Asajj Ventress.
Ventress. Usually we're seeing the Bad Batch always have the upper hand. This episode, we saw the Bad Batch lose.
Yeah.
We saw them bad. Like I actually like that because it sets up for they're at their lowest point now. You know, they've lost, you know, they lost Omega. Wrecker is seriously injured. You know, it's just
Crosshair is almost debilitated to the point where like he can barely function. And the only member of the team who's not, at least you know, in a bad way is Hunter.
Yeah.
And so I'm digging. This is like classic hero's journey where this is the crisis point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at heroes at the hero's journey, there is a as you're working your way around the wheel. Step 9 or 10 is this point of crisis where something happens that it's irrevocable and it sets the next phase of the story in place.
Yeah.
And this right here was the high point of the action. Everything's been building to this with the Empire trying to get Omega back. And now we're on the downhill slope with the falling action, you know, just crashing rapidly towards the final resolution. And it's going to be interesting.
Well, even if you look at what Lucas himself said with the trilogy, you know, with each one of the original trilogy, you have, you know, the first one sets everything up, introduces you to the character, introduces you to the world. The second act
raises the stakes
and puts him in the worst possible position they could be in.
Right.
Like the end of Empire, everything was falling apart. You know, Han was gone. You know, the
characters are all going in separate directions.
Yeah. And then in Return of the Jedi, it all comes together and, you know, you have Luke coming out as the new next Jedi.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how what happens next week. With next week's episode.
Yeah. Which, let me see here. Bad Batch season 3 release schedule. Why isn't that popping up? According to what I'm seeing here, the next episode is going to be airing this Wednesday. So if you're probably watching or listening to this, it's already like the day after. Episode 12 drops on, this week. It's called Juggernaut. Which really makes me wonder, because, you know, Juggernaut is an unstoppable force.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have any predictions for that?
Unless it's something that Hemlock's been working on, that some sort of super soldier, along with Project Necromancer, that he's working on using some sort of specific clone that's going to be an unstoppable clone. You know, maybe one that has some sort of nascent force abilities, not quite to a Jedi level, but quicker reflexes, faster.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's going to be...
I can't say that I've got any predictions for it, because, I mean, the term Juggernaut is so generic that it could be literally pointing towards just about
anything.
Any character, any circumstance that we could possibly dream up.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be the Empire itself as being a Juggernaut.
I think it's going to be something far more specific than just the Empire in general.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be dealing with something more dangerous than that. Something more specifically dangerous to Omega and the Batch and what they're dealing with.
Definitely.
My thought is, with a title like that, actually, I do have a prediction. I feel like this is going to be, a more Hunter-centric episode, which would be nice to see him operating solo and to see what kind of skill he actually has by himself without relying on a squad, where he's having to face the operative one-on-one. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I mean, because the operative has been operating as a hunter.
Yeah.
Okay, no pun intended. So what happens when you have two tracker hunter type characters going head to head like that?
Ooh, I just had a thought. What if this operative is literally a combination of all of them? That he has the traits of all of the bat, that somehow they're able to like get samples of blood or DNA from all of them, and he has all of the traits of all of the batch.
That would be a pretty cool twist too.
Like, yeah, he's literally like, he has Hunter's DNA, he has Tech's DNA, he has, you know, all of the different DNA.
Yeah. I did see some images that were being released that were like, they were spoiler images that had been like swiped from like something online, like maybe a Disney server or something, I don't know, but that were showing a picture of the operative unmasked. And so it was hard, it was grainy, the image was bad quality, and I want to say it, because I don't really remember all the details, because I caught it when I was like half asleep, but I'm like, it looked like Tech, but at the same time it could be, you know, I mean, the clones look all so very similar that it could just be any one of them.
Right. Right.
So who knows? Who knows?
Well, we're coming up on time Yep. Yeah, both these episodes I would give solid 9.
I would say 9.5.
9.5, especially
the only reason I would give like a half point, you know, deduction is just simply because I don't like it when little kids get abused.
Yeah, me too.
It's one thing that boils my blood.
Yeah, it's but yeah, but I mean, looking forward to next week.
Yes, I am.
We'll be here talking about it as always. With that said, Garrett, why don't you tell the people out there where they can find you at?
Well, you guys can find me on social media on Instagram and X. I'm more on Instagram these days because X just, it's kind of a mess. But you can find me on both of those platforms at GKJ_publishing, or you can do a search on Facebook for GKJ Publishing. You can also find me on YouTube. I host a show called The Right Way. And again, you just do the search for GKJ Publishing. I'm the only one that pops up. My show, it talks about book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. And right now, through the month of April, I'm doing an author interview marathon called Author Awareness April. Each week is a new interview that I have with an independent author. I had one come out last week with fantasy and Japanese folklore author Caria Keller. This week, I have Christian fantasy author Caitlin King, who will be on the show. And then next month is going to go back to my usual regular set of just regular monthly episode and live stream. And then actually this last Saturday, I did a live stream from my local library where I was doing a writing workshop on an intro to writing fiction. So that's
awesome. All right. As for us right here, of course, if you want to get a hold of the show, you can do so through our email, which is warthestars1@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of us on X or Twitter, at warthestars1, really easy to remember. It's just like our email, just without at. Yeah, you know how it works. all other social media, whether that be Instagram, Facebook, whatever, just search War of the Stars, the Star Wars podcast. We are, of course, a part of Geek News Now, geeknewsnow.com, on YouTube and Spotify. Check it out there. Check out all the different shows on there. Also, check out my other show, Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child. New episodes coming out soon. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty with our last upload, but we are going to be coming out with another episode soon. So be looking out for that. Also, if you want to support the show, ko-fi.com/War of the Stars. There it is. You can check this out there. Also, check out our merch shop on spreadshirt.com/shop/War of the Stars. You can get shirts like this, cool, thick, like this right here. Also, coffee mugs, hats, pins, everything you can get there.
Yep. We had to discontinue our line of actually functioning lightsabers because some kid wanted to look down the barrel and accidentally hit the trigger. You know, so. This is why you never give lightsabers to newbies.
With that being said, of course, remember, this is not my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
This is the way.